living. It's something that we can read, and we can read the same verse many times over and get something different out of it each time. And how many layers there are to the gospel is something that has always really fascinated me, both in just the revelation that we get from God, but even in the fact that as we read it in English, you can go and look at what a word meant in the Greek and get a totally new perspective of the same verse. And I think that's especially true when we look at the names of God. And that's what I wanted to share about a little bit this morning. And I think it's a really powerful thing when we just read the word God, sometimes what is behind that in the original text and how much more God has for us than just simply he is God, and how the different ways that he has chosen to describe himself in the word. You know, you likely know the meaning of your name. If you're a parent, when you were thinking of names for your child, you probably looked up what the meaning of that name is. For the most part, though, at least in our culture, that's almost a little bit of a novelty. Like, it's a neat thing about the name, but we don't really choose a name because we feel like that has any impact on their life. It's kind of a neat thing behind the name. But really, that was a lot different in the Bible. There is real impact and real meaning behind the names of God, and even often the names of the people in the Bible. We see like Abram, that God changed his name to Abraham. Same thing with Sarai, that God changed her name to Sarah. And what we see in those examples is that God changed their name so that their name would line up with what God intended for their life. Like Kay shared about a little bit ago, we were born with a purpose. So God actually took those people and changed their name to line up with the purpose that he had for their lives. And that's a really powerful thing to see the way that God looks at names. You know, when we saw that God appeared to Zechariah and promised him a son, God told him what that son's name would be. Saw the same thing with Isaac. And even Mary, God, there are many examples throughout the word where God told someone what to name a child or actually changed that person's name because of the significance and the impact that God sees in a name and what he would name someone. I wonder, I don't know if there's a scriptural reference for this, but I wonder if God has a name for us. I wonder if my name's Andrew, but I wonder if God has a name for me that is that purpose. For my life. Like I said, I don't know that I can prove that in the scripture, but I wonder that sometimes. Is there a name that God has for me? And I wonder what that is. So God's name and the names that he chose to call himself in the word are of a lot of importance. It's one of the ways God chose to describe himself in the word was by the names that he gave himself when he was speaking to his people. There's a verse in Matthew 6:9 that talks a little bit about his name, and we'll go to that first. Matthew 6:9, it says, "In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." I thought this was a good verse to start with because it's not telling us to pray, "Hallowed are you, Father," or "Holy are you, Father," but this verse is actually telling us to pray, "Hallowed be your name." I thought that was a really interesting thing that God told us to give that significance and that honor, not only to him, but actually to his name. In Psalms 148:13, talking about his name again, it says, "Let them praise," again, not the Lord, but the name of the Lord. "For his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven." So obviously we exalt God. Obviously we honor him. Obviously we give him praise. But there are multiple times in the word where God instructs his people to also praise his name. And the significance of that is pretty obvious when we then see what he does with his name throughout the word and how he chooses to describe himself. So it is not just him that is holy, but it is actually his name that is holy as well. The name Yahweh is what God used to describe himself. It's the name he used when he revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. And in Jewish tradition, that name was actually considered even too holy to speak. There was a time in the 3rd century BC where the Jewish people and the rabbi, they actually completely stopped speaking the name of God because they were so concerned about using his name in vain or using it in an incorrect context, that they completely stopped speaking that name. And because of that, we actually aren't sure that Yahweh is the correct pronunciation of his name, because it went so long literally not being spoken. And, you know, we live under grace. God is good to us. So if we do misuse his name, if we do use his name in the wrong context or something like that, his wrath isn't poured out on us, which is awesome. So we can use that name. We can talk about the name of God. But it is, I think, still good to see the reverence that his people, the Jewish people, that they used towards that name, and the understanding that they had in their culture of how important that name is, where they were even concerned to speak the name out of how important and how holy they saw that name. So names in the Bible are not accidental. They're not inconsequential. What he chooses to call himself carries a lot of weight. And at times throughout the scripture, God gives us names for himself that describe him. So he's using these names to show an aspect of his character. It's typically what we see when God uses a unique name for himself, that he's describing some aspect of his character or some aspect of his nature. In Hebrews, we see that he says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in James, it says, in him there is no variance or shadow of turning. So what we learn about God's character and nature in one place in the Word, that applies throughout all the rest of the Word, and it applies to us today. So if he just chose to describe himself as something to his people 1,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, however long ago, that the significance of that and the truth of that is true to us today, because he does not change. There is no shadow of variance with him. In Genesis, we see the word, and the first name that I wanted to talk about, the name Jehovah Jireh is used in Genesis. And Jehovah denotes God who reveals himself unceasingly. I thought that was a really, really cool thing to think about, and really kind of what I talked about at the very beginning here, the layers that are in the Word, and how we can continue to learn from God from a text that is set. We can continue to learn from him, and that's because of this first part of his name, Jehovah, a God who reveals himself unceasingly. As you go through your walk as a believer, you will learn more of God. He will continue to reveal himself to you on an unending basis. He will continue to show himself to you more and more, and our relationship with him grows closer and closer as he does that. In the end, that's what it means to be close to somebody, right? It means we know more about them. That's why we don't feel very close to someone when we first know them. We don't know anything about them. When we first meet them, we don't know anything about them. And that's really all that changes when we get to have someone that we feel very close to. Really all that's changed is we know more about them. We share more things in common with them now. And that is what happens with God as well, as we get to know him more and he shares more with us, and that relationship with him grows. So the second piece of that name, Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, means our provider. God wants you to know that about him. God wants you to know that he sees himself, that he is your provider. He chose to call himself that in the Word, in Genesis. So in Philippians 4:19, I wanted to go over there and read a verse that kind of talks about that. But, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This is an awesome verse for us to know that he shall supply your need according to his riches. But how much more impactful is this word, is this verse, if we know not only is he saying that he's going to, but he has also called himself our provider. So the person that says that he is your provider is also saying that he shall supply your need. It's not just a statement that he made at some point that he's willing to do this, but it is an aspect of his actual nature that he will provide for you. And how much easier is it for us to have faith and to see that? Because a verse like this is easy to read and to see, but then to actually believe in a time of need in our life that God will supply for us, how much easier is it to have faith for that if we know that one of the ways that God chose to actually describe himself was that he would be this for you? He's not just willing to do it for you. He can't help himself because it's who he is. He is our provider. Jehovah Nisi is another, it appears early in the Word. It's in Exodus is the first time it appears, and it means our banner, or the Lord is our refuge. And it's powerful for us, again, to think that that he doesn't change. So if he is our refuge, he is our refuge yesterday, today, and forever. It's not a matter of will he be there for you. It's not a matter of in a time of need, if I fasted the week before and I timed up my praying just right, then in that time of need, he'll be there for me because I built up enough, you know, spiritual credit or something by fasting that suddenly God is there for me. It's not that at all. It's that Jehovah Nisi, the Lord, is our refuge. Again, it is an aspect of his nature. It's how he chose to describe his character to us, is that he is our refuge. It doesn't have anything to do with you. It doesn't have anything to do with how much you deserve it. It doesn't matter at all how much you've earned it. It's a fact that it is his nature. It is his being. It is who he is to be your refuge. So in our time of need, we turn to that refuge that has been there all along. And he is always there and always ready for us. There's another name that God uses for himself, Tiskanu, Jehovah Tiskanu, and it means our righteousness. And if I get my pages turned, I think I have a verse for this one. Jeremiah 23:6. It says, in his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Again, God is telling us how to refer to him, right? I'm Andrew. He is telling, refer to me as the Lord our righteousness. The Lord is your righteousness. And this word Jehovah Tiskanu refers to him being our righteousness. And I think this is one of the things that the body has gotten the most wrong. And one of the things that I've been the most thankful for pastors teaching is really this concept of what righteousness means and where righteousness comes from. I don't know about you, but I definitely grew up with an understanding that righteousness had to do with my recent actions. That my righteousness had to do with what I had done recently. There was this idea that I had and that I heard taught was that there's kind of this umbrella of God's protection and God's will for our life and God's blessing for our life. And when I'm following his word, when I've been praying, when I've been reading my Bible, when I've been, just in tune with God, then I'm under this umbrella. I'm under these wings of God and in his perfect plan for my life. But at the same time, the other part of that teaching was if I didn't, if I made a mistake, if I got off, if there's some unrepented sin in my life or something like these terms that get thrown around in church, that there's this protection of God that's there and he's unchanging, but I changed. So now I've stepped outside of that and his protection and his blessing is still there for me, but it doesn't apply to me right now because I've stepped out from underneath of this umbrella of protection. And that is, in one way or another, how a lot of the church believes that he works towards us. That yes, he doesn't change. Yes, his goodness is there, but we have to earn it. That we have to be in a place in our life where we're able to receive it because of how we've acted towards God. How much did I read my Bible? How much did I pray? But when we read these verses and we learn about who God is and what his names are, how he's described himself, if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and if I've been adopted into his family, he can't change how he acts towards me. He can't change in what his plan is for me. So my part in it is being willing to receive. But there's a very, very big difference between God withholding something because I'm not in the right place in my life and me choosing whether or not I'm going to receive something that God has done for me. So like I said, I think this is one of the things the body has gotten the most wrong a lot of times is believing that we earn righteousness. But if we see like this Jehovah Tiskanu, that he is our righteousness. When we accepted Jesus, we accepted the salvation that he paid for on the cross, but we also accepted everything that is in the character of God. Everything that is in the nature of God became ours when we joined that family. So he is our righteousness. He is your righteousness this morning. No matter what you did last week, no matter if you got an argument on the way to church this morning, no matter what happened in your life, he is still your righteousness. And he is there for you as your provider and as your refuge every day. Now, we do have a part to play again in being willing to receive that. But God never withholds that from us. Once we have joined his family, it is all available to us. And it is awesome to see again that he chose to describe himself this way so there could be no doubt about what his will for you is. And his will is for you to see peace and refuge and to have righteousness for all days because he did it once and for all for us. So his name means our righteousness. He is our sanctifier. The last name that I wanted to dive into a little bit this morning is Jehovah Rapha. And like Joseph was talking about this morning, Jehovah Rapha says that he is our healer. And again, not just that he can heal, not just that because he is all-powerful that he has the ability to do it, but he chose to describe himself to you as our healer. That is what he said about himself to you. So is it his will to heal? How can it not be if he described himself as our healer? If he chose not to heal you by his choice, then he would no longer be what he called himself. Those two things can't exist together. He can't withhold healing from you and also be Jehovah Rapha for you. So again, we may have difficulty receiving at times, but the supply is always there, right? When you go to your sink, the water may not be flowing, but it's not a problem with the supply, it's a problem with the receiving, right? As soon as you turn that tap on, the water's flowing. And it's the same with God. His supply is always there for us. He has described himself as our healer. That healing was available to that young boy from the moment he was born, but it took a moment of being willing to receive and having people that knew the truth of the gospel that were willing to believe on his behalf along with him to see that healing come to pass. The supply was always there. It's our choice to receive and to line up with the word and what he said about us. I think knowing the names of God and seeing his nature, and I think we looked at four or five here this morning, there are so many more. There are dozens of names that God chose to describe himself, and I'd encourage you to look those up sometime. They're really powerful just to see a list of all the things God called himself in the Word, all the ways that he described himself, and what all those promises are for you in your everyday life, that he is all of those things for you. So in 1 Peter 5:7, it says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. I think it's so much easier to do that when you can see who you're casting your cares on. Yes, it's God, but who God is, the character and the nature that makes up our God, it's so much easier to cast that care upon him when we see that we're giving that care to someone who is our provider. Who would you want to give your care to more than someone that is your provider? And our refuge. In Philippians 4:13, and I'll close with this, Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's another name God uses, El Shaddai, that means the Lord God Almighty. We talked about Jehovah Jireh, our shepherd, our healer. This is who your God is. This is what he has for you in your everyday life. So remember that the supply is never the problem. But maybe sometimes the receiving is. So if there is something that is in the nature of God, if there is a promise in his word that you haven't seen in evidenced in your life, examine the receiving end of it, right? And that's not a condemnation. All of us have that in some area of our life. But what we have to do is recognize it and say, wait a minute, God's supply is there, but I'm not seeing it. So why is that? Why am I not trusting this promise that's in his word? And the best thing to do is to go learn, to go see it in his word and get it on the inside of us. Not just that we've read it, but that we understand it and that we believe it. And when our belief matches up with that supply, we'll see all of the goodness of God in action in our life. Amen? Amen. Well, why don't you stand this morning? I want to close in prayer. We have a God of supply, of refuge, of healing, of prosperity, of love, of grace, of goodness, of forgiveness. There is nothing good that you could imagine that you would want in your life. It isn't an aspect and a reflection of God's nature. We would not have the ability to love a son or daughter, to love a mother or father, to love a spouse, if God's love didn't exist? The love that we show someone else is a reflection of the love that exists from God. It doesn't exist in nature. It is God. The love that we show to each other is a reflection of the love that God has for us. And everything else in our life can be that same. The peace that we have is a reflection of his peace. The supply that we have is a reflection of that he is our supplier. So, Father, I thank you for this group of people that love you, that care about you, that want to see others reached for you, Father. So let us know you, not just that you are a God that sent Jesus for us and that is our way to heaven, but that you are a God of so much more than that. And all the ways that you described yourself, that you wanted us to know that you were more than that you are our supplier and our refuge, our healer, Father, and so many other things, an almighty God. So, Lord, let us know who you are so that we can allow you to express yourself in our life every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you all. Pastor Stephen Hawley will be back today, so they'll be here next week, and we'll see you then.